You have your Bibles. Turn with me, please, over to Matthew chapter 2. And follow along as I read, beginning at verse 1. Matthew 2 and verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Gathering together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet: 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called the Magi and determined from them the exact time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and when you have found him, report to me, so that I too may come and worship him." After hearing the king, they went their way. And the star which they had seen in the east went on before them until it came and stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, please help us to see clearly what is written. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly, because we've come today to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of the four Gospels, Matthew is arguably the most Jewish. Matthew is writing somewhat like the writer of the book of Hebrews. Matthew is writing to Jewish Christians, reminding them of who the Christ, the Messiah, is, their Redeemer. He's also writing to those who are in the investigative stage. They've heard about Jesus. They're beginning to wonder, could Jesus be the Christ, God himself? That's why Matthew starts right at the beginning with the genealogy. And you say, but Luke has a genealogy too. Yes, that's right. But you may remember that Luke goes all the way back to Adam. Why does Matthew start with Abraham? Because that's all that matters to Israel. That the Christ, the Messiah, can trace his lineage back to Abraham. And then we have the story of Joseph. Only, we don't hear that story anyplace else but in Matthew. And Joseph struggles because of the law. Not a lot of detail in Matthew 1 about the law, but those Jewish readers, they would have understood, oh yeah, I understand, Joseph, why you're struggling. Mary's been unfaithful. You have legal obligation here. You have a responsibility. But Joseph took that responsibility and wrapped it in his love for Mary, knowing what he needed to do, intending to do it, but he was going to do it with kindness, not with vengeance. Until God spoke to him through a messenger, an angel. And then we get to chapter 2. It's pretty clear, don't you think? When we get to chapter 2, we're still in Bethlehem, but we're not in the manger. We're not in the stable. We're not out behind the inn. We're somewhere else. And it's all about the appearance of these magi. Who are they? The short of it is, we don't really know. But there are some clues. There is a Greek translation of the Old Testament. And when Daniel and his friends and others of the elite in Babylon are described as wise men, this is the word that's used. Magi. Connection? Maybe. I've said this before. The ice is rather thin where I'm standing. You can come or not, as you wish. But when I think of the wise men from the east, and I follow that horn of civilization east back from Palestine, I end up in Babylon. And I wonder if these men haven't been students of Daniel and his friends and others who spent that 70 years in Babylon, many of whom, most of whom, stayed when Ezra led a group back to rebuild the temple, when Nehemiah led a group back to rebuild the wall. The majority stayed. Why? Because Babylon was their new home. There was a Jewish population there. Don't know. Maybe. But they get to Jerusalem. And notice the inquiry, chapter in verse 2. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Can you imagine? Now again, we have to appeal to some literature outside of Scripture. But if these men did indeed travel from Babylon all the way to Jerusalem, we're not talking three camels. We're talking a caravan. We're talking about enough people to take care of three very wealthy men, feed them, clothe them, do everything that needs to be done for them, and everything they would have needed to travel several months. When this group gets to Jerusalem, everybody knows they're there. And here's the question. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where did they get that idea? The hint is, they say, we saw his star in the east. Now, what they mean is, we were in the east. The star was over the west, but you know, we saw his star. way back there, we saw his star. Where did they get that idea? And again, I don't know, but a careful reading of Daniel would have told them that they were within the time frame in which God would send the Christ, the Messiah. And if they are, in fact, astronomers, they would have noticed something unusual in the sky. A light would have gone off in their minds. Maybe this is it. And they were confident enough to put together this caravan that would have cost thousands of dollars to travel that far. They say to come to worship him. You don't travel that far simply on a hunch. These men believe they have come to see someone, and they've come to worship him. Now again, we don't have a lot of detail, and you can accept or reject my suggestions. But they have come to worship him. That immediately troubles Herod. Herod is one of those guys who does not, who holds his power very jealously and very vengefully. This man is responsible for the death of at least one wife and at least one son, because he was concerned that they were less than supportive. Same man that rebuilt the temple. An interesting character. So when this caravan pulls in and word goes out, where is he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star. We've come to worship him. Where is he? Everybody's upset. What's this going to do to Herod? What's Herod going to do to us? The religious leaders are called, and they know exactly what Scripture says. They know Micah 5:2. You know it. Bethlehem. They don't believe it. They haven't been watching for it. Nothing happens in Bethlehem. We get a really good price on sacrificial lambs, but that's about it. Nobody cares about what's going on in Bethlehem. Ever. But Micah 5:2 does say Bethlehem. The wise men regroup. They gather the caravan. They head out of Jerusalem toward Bethlehem. And verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Apparently, they saw the star from the east, knew where it was over Israel, and they started out. At some point during the trip, the star went away. The star called them. Once they were on their way, the star evidently went away. They assume if the king of the Jews has been born, if he's not in Jerusalem, Jerusalem knows where he is. No star, no one knows. But there's Micah 5:2, check Bethlehem. They get all gathered, headed that direction, and there's the star. And they were comforted. Another sign by God that they're in the right place at the right time for the right thing. They again were being guided by His star, and they had found the child. Verse 11 says, they fell to the ground and worshiped Him. They did not worship Jesus and His mother. But we do need to let Scripture inform our attitude toward Mary. A part of the church's tradition has given her way too much credit and elevated her to a position that Scripture does not. Another part of the church tradition has almost ignored her, and that's not scripturally correct either. She is a very important person in the life of the church, chosen by God for a special role that she fulfilled, not perfectly, not sinlessly. But obediently. She is special. Verse 12 says, having been warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod, the Magi left for their own country by another way. When I read that, I was immediately impressed by this truth. They knew the voice of God when they heard it. These men are special. I need to be very careful. There's no reason for me not to think that these men are believers. They know God's word, what we call the Old Testament. They know the prophecies. And they believe they have seen the one prophesied. They believe they have seen the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe they have heard the voice of God. They've followed the voice of God. They've heard it again. And He said, don't go back and see Herod. And they obeyed Him. Why? Perhaps for their own protection. Had they gone back to the palace? Had they gone back to Herod and reported all that they saw and what they believed, it would not have been out of character for Herod to have destroyed them. So maybe this was God's way of protecting them. But when I think of this story, I also wonder, is this one more preview of the Gentile inclusion into God's plan of salvation? These are Gentiles. These are men who do not have a connection to Abraham or the sons of Jacob. But they feel included. They believe they have seen God's Messiah. And they wouldn't have traveled just to see Israel's hope. They traveled to witness their hope as well. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for its truthfulness. I pray we've handled it accurately. Thank You for the wise men. Thank You for their willingness to travel so far, so long, to see Jesus, to see for themselves what perhaps they had read, that they had anticipated. Maybe they, like Anna and Simeon, had been looking for the Lord's Christ. And saw his star and came. And Father, thank you for opening up this great drama of redemption, just as you promised to Abraham, not just to his descendants, not just to the nation, but to the nations, to all men, Jew and Gentile alike. Thank you for including me. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.